Hello, this is Archbishop William Laurie of Baltimore, and you are listening to Catholic Baltimore on Q1370 WQLL. Catholic Baltimore is a weekly radio program hosted by the Archdiocese of Baltimore, airing each Sunday following the broadcast of the Radio Mass of Baltimore. We are grateful to our Catholic radio partners for sharing with us some of the contents in this program and for the opportunity to bring quality Catholic programming to the Archdiocese of Baltimore every Sunday.
This is Sean Kane, and welcome back to Catholic Baltimore. We're here today with Father Patrick Carrion, who's the pastor of the Catholic community of South Baltimore. Father Carrion, thanks for being with us.
You're welcome, Sean. Glad to be here.
So Lent has just begun, and it's prompted some age-old questions about this 40-day period for practicing Catholics and others alike. So let's start with the simple question, what is Lent?
Well, Lent is one of our liturgical seasons of the year, Advent, Christmas being a liturgical season, Lent, Easter season. That is a period of time, 40-day period, really asked to delve into a lot of reflection, quiet, awareness of God in your life, caring for doing some disciplines or different activities in order to enter into that in a little different way or a more acute way than you would during any of the other seasons of the year. The 40 days from Ash Wednesday to Easter Sunday is that focused time. And it's asking, like all Christians, and for us Catholic Christians, you know, to do it together. That whole sense of when you're doing something that's difficult with somebody, it does make it a little easier. So we all are not eating meat on Friday, or we're all doing a particular practice.
Mm-hmm. So a lot of us walked away on Ash Wednesday with ashes on our foreheads,
mm-hmm.
and
right.
Whether our friends are Catholic or not, invariably we're asked, you know, what exactly does that represent or mean?
Well, it is reminding, as one of the statements that is often made as the ashes is put on there, is remember that you are dust, and unto dust you shall return. Whole sense that we are very finite people. We come from God. He created us, and we're going back to God. So that's whole sense of Ash Wednesday, dust, Easter Sunday, resurrection, coming from God, going back to God. And that particular, the ashes is going to remind us of that sense of humility, our finiteness, and that we need to rely solely on God who created us.
Right. So one of the Catholics like to give something up for Lent. It's, I guess, a part of our self-discipline practice. So
sure.
why do we do this, and what does it mean for us?
I think the giving up thing, whether it's as the, you know, someone decides to give up chocolate or they give up their morning coffee, it's certainly not a hardship. It's kind of a constant reminder when you might wake up that day and you're like, oh, I would love to have that cup of coffee, or at night, love to have that dessert. It's like, well, I'm not going to have it, or I have this discipline to remind me I need to be a little bit different today, have a little bit heightened awareness. Maybe you're giving up some particular food to be in solidarity with those who are always hungry. Our fast days of Ash Wednesday and Good Friday, where you're supposed to eat minimal meals, nothing in between meals, you know, to remind ourselves, well, we may be hungry for this 2 hours because we're not taking a snack. There's some people who are hungry all day.
Mm-hmm. And, of course, you don't have to necessarily give something up. You may decide you want to do an act of kindness or work on some other part of,
right.
you know, your life.
Right. The three disciplines of Lent are prayer, fasting, and almsgiving. So the fasting could be giving up the candy. Other things could be almsgiving, saying, well, instead of, since I'm not going to the store to get that cup of coffee, I'll give that particular money to a charitable organization. You can always just throw it in the church's poor box as you walk out of Mass, or make a donation to your favorite charity. Or even in prayer, you know, sometimes people say, well, I'm going to up the ante a little bit at some of my prayer practices. Typically, we see more attendance at Mass in the Lenten season on Sundays. You see people coming more during the week. Maybe if they work downtown, go to a church that has, you know, a noontime Mass, or they get up early or go to work a little late if they're going to their local parish, or they'll go to Stations of the Cross on Friday nights. So they'll kind of do those different prayer practices a little bit more intentionally. Be mindful of the poor through some almsgiving, a traditional word for it, giving to charity. as well as just giving up something.
Mm-hmm. And we are more intentional about our prayer lives during Lent, and that really is to help us get closer to God, isn't mm-hmm. it?
Correct, right.
Okay. And that relationship with Christ is really, developing that as a big part of our Lenten mm-hmm. journey. Mm-hmm. And we can be careful, though, not to try and overdo it in Lent, to try to jam in those 40 mm-hmm. days, you know, maybe what might otherwise take us many months or a lifetime, mm-hmm. exactly. So mm-hmm. what advice do you mm-hmm. have for people who yeah. are want or prone to try and do that?
Well, I think first they should be good to themselves. Yeah, I do think people often say, I'm going to give all this stuff up for Lent, and then they get into the third week of the 40 days, and they're like exhausted, and then they feel guilty. Oh my God, I said I was going to do this. I didn't do it. It certainly isn't supposed to be a season where we just add to the guilt. We usually do that well enough on our own. Mm-hmm. It's really a time to kind of be grace-filled and just start up again and use the time the best you can, and maybe sometimes be good to yourself. We even have those some traditions and cultures have little special days in Lent, like when you get to like St. Joseph's Day, it's like, well, that's a solemnity, a nice day. We shouldn't have to do our prayer practice. It gives a little like reprieve mm-hmm. and maybe get in touch a little bit of that. Okay, God's still a fun God, a good God, and enter the relationship that way and allows us, I think, to be attentive longer when we're not seeing it just as a drudgery, but just as a journey.
So Lent doesn't have to be a time of misery for us, right?
Correct.
Yeah.
I grew up where Sundays never counted. That's we would all wait for Sunday. If we gave up, candy, it's like Sunday we could have it. Or so that's not in all traditions.
No, that's a debate in my house. So, what is, is there the official word on Sundays?
I'm not sure that I can give the official word, but I would say God is good, so I think we should give ourselves a break every day.
Yeah, amen to that. Father Patrick Carrion, the pastor of Catholic Community of South Baltimore, thanks for being with us.
Thank you, Sean.
You are listening to Catholic Baltimore on Q1370 WQLL.
The season of sacraments is nearly here. First Holy Communion, Confirmation, and weddings. Visit the Baltimore Basilica, America's first cathedral, and stop by the gift shop for all of your gift needs. From beautiful frames to crucifixes and crosses, statues, and one-of-a-kind rosaries, the Basilica gift shop has it all. Friendly, knowledgeable staff members can help you select the perfect gift. Also available, Baltimore's very own Mouth Party Caramels, locally designed hand-painted signs and jewelry, plus gifts for Easter, as well as an extensive line of St. Patrick's Day items sure to bring out the Irish in everyone. Visit the Basilica Gift Shop at 409 Cathedral Street in Baltimore or call 410-727-3565 for hours and directions. Free street parking available directly in front of the Basilica between 9:30 and 4 p.m.
The Archbishop's annual youth and young adult pilgrimage will take place on Saturday, March 28, 2015. This event is open to high school students and young adults. This year's theme is Walk in Truth. Our pilgrimage will begin with a rally and reconciliation at St. Mary's Spiritual Center, followed by adoration and a concert. Our day will conclude with liturgy at St. Casimir's. Our guest musician is Mr. John Angotti. Young people must register for this event through their youth or campus minister. Young adults should contact the Division of Youth and Young Adult Ministry at 410-547-5372, 410-547-5372.
The Archdiocese of Baltimore invites area Catholics to celebrate the Sacrament of Reconciliation this Lent. priest will be hearing confessions at Catholic churches throughout the Archdiocese from 3 to 8 p.m. on Friday, March 27th. Sin can damage our relationships with God and with each other. Reconciliation is the gift that Christ gave His church to bring us the healing grace of God's forgiveness. God loves us just the way we are, but He loves us too much to leave us that way. Experience God's mercy by receiving the Sacrament of Reconciliation this Lent. Contact a Catholic church near you for more information, or visit archvault.org for a list of churches and confession times. And remember, the light is on for you.
The light is on for you.
You are listening to Catholic Baltimore on Q1370 WQLL.
This is Sean Kane, and welcome back to Catholic Baltimore. We're here with Bill McCarthy, who's the Executive Director of Catholic Charities here in the Archdiocese of Baltimore. Bill, thanks for being with us.
Good morning, Sean.
So, you are the Executive Director of Catholic Charities. For those who are unfamiliar with the work of your organization, could you talk a little bit about its mission and the history and really just the extensive footprint here in the Archdiocese of Baltimore?
Sure. Catholic Charities is the largest private human service agency in the state of Maryland. Our mission is very simple and straightforward. Inspired by the gospel mandates to love, serve, and teach, Catholic Charities provides programs and services to improve the lives of Marylanders in need. We serve individuals and families that live in poverty, children and families in crisis, individuals with intellectual disabilities, older Marylanders, and our new neighbors, the immigrants. Catholic Charities really got its charge and its start with the formation of the Archdiocese of Baltimore, where John Carroll, you know, declared that parishes should use one-third of their receipts for care for the poor.
So it's been an important mission and really kind of a key partner with the Archdiocese itself since the beginning.
Yeah, absolutely. That's really its roots.
To talk a little bit about the kinds of people you serve and maybe how that's changed in recent years. I think people think, obviously, the homeless, but I would imagine there are a lot of people struggling that your programs have been asked to support, and that's probably changed a little bit.
Sure. You know, I think about at the beginning where Catholic Charities, their care for children, for example, back in the mid-1800s, Baltimore had 22 orphanages. And the orphanages really were set up to care for children whose parents didn't make it during the immigration to the Port of Baltimore. And each orphanage was set up based on the country of origin and basically the gender of the child. And over time, the needs of children changed, for example. And at St. Vincent's Villa today, which has its roots as an orphanage in the 1820s, is really it's an out-of-home placement for children that have suffered enormous trauma, abuse, and circumstances that you and I could never have imagined. So from orphanages to adoptions in the early days for children, we have a whole continuum of care for children and families in crisis, from crisis intervention programs in the community to homes, our behavioral health programs that are not only in clinics but in 150 schools throughout the Archdiocese of Baltimore, to treatment foster care, and as well as I mentioned, our special needs schools and St. Vincent's.
And, of course, St. Vincent's is one of some 80-plus programs that the Catholic Charities has. Can you talk a little about your best-known program, which is Our Daily Bread? I think most people, when they think of Catholic Charities, immediately think of Our Daily Bread. That's got to, you know, bring a smile to your face.
Yeah. You know, Our Daily Bread is really, again, it's a program that's changed over time. It was really inspired by the kindness of Monsignor Love at the time in the early 70s when he was feeding the hungry through the alley next to the rectory and convent, which was attached to the basilica. And then, so in 1981, Catholic Charities started our first meals program, Our Daily Bread. So that's 33 years ago, almost 34, June 1st, 1981. That's over 13,000 consecutive days without missing a meal of feeding the hungry of Baltimore. And that's 7 million meals over that period of time. It's the largest meals program in the city of Baltimore and, frankly, the most effective. And as you say, the recognition of our daily bread, that's just one element now. So what started as meeting a basic need of hunger has evolved into a comprehensive center where guests that come to our daily bread are invited to take this journey of, you know, from dependence towards this path towards self-sufficiency. We have employment services, housing services, healthcare services, case management services, all located at our daily bread today. And I think about it, last year alone, over 1,000 people that were homeless were placed in housing. Over 500 people who were out of work were placed in work in the past year. And then thousands of people, over 11,000 people, were accessed to emergency services and case management services.
So people come for a meal and they leave with much more in many cases.
Yeah. The hope is, or really that's the key. You start with meeting that, I think of the meals as an invitation to this journey to change. And it really has a profound and has had a profound effect on the lives of people.
So talk a little bit about the program that's literally right across the street from our Daily Bread, which is the Weinberg Housing Resource Center in Baltimore. It had previously been run by the city. The city comes to you and says, you all are great at what you do. Would you take this over? So what does Weinberg do?
Yeah, it's kind of it's very interesting. I complained for years about what was happening at the Weinberg Housing and Resource Center. Weinberg was and is essentially a low-barrier shelter for people on the street, homeless people. Every night, you know, except on cold blue nights when there's more, we house 275 people. What we saw the problem with the shelter at the time was in order to get a bed at night, you'd have to get in line at 1 o'clock in the afternoon to have that bed. So if you had to be in line at 1 o'clock, you didn't have the opportunity to get treatment, training, or work. So how are you going to extricate yourself from a shelter if you're not getting treatment, training, or work? Because you're in line or worried that you're going to have to not have a place to sleep at night. And then every morning you'd have to take your belongings and leave the shelter. So what we've done, and this is just basically our first year and a half there, we did permanent bed assignments. Every person at the shelter was invited to participate with a case manager and a caseworker to work with that individual. And over 225 people did that in the first year. We found work for 195 people, and over 200 people were placed in transitional and permanent housing. So really, we're using the shelter for what it was intended, as a temporary place, you know, to stay as we built this path towards housing, work, and independence.
And what would you say is the typical profile of the kind of the average person who's, you know, who comes to either Weinberg or to our Daily Bread?
Yeah, so, you know, everybody's story is different, and everyone has had a different journey. There's a significant, I'd say, issue of mental health challenges that people have. And Christopher LaPlace Employment Academy, addiction has been an issue. Certainly a lot of ex-offenders that, you know, that come to the door as well. But you also have people, particularly at our Daily Bread, that at the end of the month, they're having trouble making ends meet, that they come for the meal. And, so you see working families, so the poor or the working poor, really using the services of our Daily Bread just for that gap that they're missing in their lives.
And the common thread in all your programs is the treatment of everyone who comes through with dignity. And can you talk a little bit about your kind of your orientation, your onboarding for new employees, and how intentional that is to help them understand why that's so important?
Yeah, I think that's what makes us really different. Everyone understands the technical aspects of the job, whether it's housing, employment, feeding the hungry, or working with individuals and intellectual disabilities or children and families in crisis. But what we do is we recognize and cherish the divine within each individual. And as we onboard people, we orient them to the fact is that there's a face and presence of Christ in every person. And once you have that recognition, and once you understand that every individual is worthy of love, dignity, and respect, it just changes that dynamic. It changes the interaction with that client. It gives hope. It gives respect. And then people, in turn, reciprocate that way. I think about the violence in the city, and I think about what happens in other programs where people have lost hope. And I look at our Daily Bread for 33 years. No incidents of mention, because I think it's that invitation to participate in this journey and the fact that people are seen as being worthy. People are treated with dignity and respect. So that's the great equalizer. And that's the real difference between a Catholic Charities invitation or program and a Catholic Charities colleague, and then what you'll see elsewhere in the community.
Of course, the Catholic Charities is located in and operating in more than just the city. Can you talk a little bit about, you know, some of the kinds of programs you have in out in the suburbs and in Mountain, Maryland?
Yeah, so it's really, that's a great point. So Catholic Charities, we operate 80 programs at 200 sites throughout the Archdiocese of Baltimore. You mentioned Western Maryland, Mountain, Maryland. We have a behavioral health clinic in Midland. We have a supportive senior housing community out in Grantsville, and also in Cumberland, you know, a food program. And we're always trying to help the poor and those in need to access services to help them in those mm-hmm. services.
Finally, how important are volunteers to the work that you do? Obviously, you have quite a number of employees, but you also rely heavily on volunteers.
Yeah, that's a great point, and I usually always start with that. I think what makes Catholic Charities not just a service provider, but a movement to improve lives. We have 2,300 employees. Last year, we had 23,000 unduplicated volunteers that whose work and whose expertise and whose help gives us leverage to serve more people and serve people in a more thoughtful and more effective way. So if you think about it, 23,000 volunteers, many of them are volunteering weekly, several times a week, monthly, really connected and are an extension of our workforce and our mission.
Yeah, that's a really amazing statistic. And I know, you know, many of us are familiar with, you know, the casseroles that we're asked to bake, you know, at our parishes. And that's just one example of a way that you can volunteer at a program for Catholic Charities.
That's exactly right. You know, I think the casserole is a great way to start because it can be a family activity. You know, if you're making a casserole from one of our recipes, it gives you an opportunity to talk to your children about the fact that there are people that are hungry in our community, people that aren't as blessed and as fortunate as we are, and also some of the issues and challenges of what causes hunger, what right. causes poverty in our community.
Absolutely. So how can people learn more about Catholic Charities if they want to get involved either in supporting it or becoming a volunteer?
You can either go to our website at www.cc-md.org or call us at 410-547-5333.
That's Bill McCarthy, Executive Director of Catholic Charities here in the Archdiocese of Baltimore. Bill, thanks for being with us today.
Thank you.
Life can be hard, and at times we feel overwhelmed and alone. When faced with problems, know that there is a group of Catholics who are part of the prayer ministry of the Archdiocese of Baltimore, waiting to lift you and your needs to God in prayer. This ministry is comprised of men and women, young and old, religious and lay, from every ethnic and cultural background. They pray as individuals and in groups, in homes and meeting spaces throughout Baltimore. Like you, they are people who have suffered the same hurts, fears, pains, sickness, loss, and everyday burdens. Learn more about this ministry by visiting our website at www.archbalt.org. If you are in need of prayer, send your prayer request to prayers@archbalt.org or by phone to 410-547-5517. Would you like to volunteer to be a part of the ministry? Prayer ministers are always needed. Please call or email our coordinator, who would be happy to speak with you.
Here's Sarah, a real mom with real reasons for sending her kids to a Catholic school.
Another great thing that we find at our Catholic school is this very strong faith-based community, which I didn't realize was going to be so important to me. We sent the kids to this school thinking, what can this school do for our kids? How can it make them be better students? And over the 6 years that we've been there, I've realized that it hasn't only changed changed my kids, but it's brought our whole family closer together. It's taught us how to pray together better. The kids at our school attend Mass on a weekly basis, and it's an amazing thing to go in there and see over 200 kids worshiping together and enjoying it and actually wanting to be there. And I think that that's going to really help them have a closer relationship to God throughout their entire lives.
Contact the Catholic school near you. Take a tour and ask questions. Explore financial aid options that are available. You just might find your own real reasons to choose Catholic education for your child.
To learn more, visit online at archbalt.org/schools. That's archbalt.org/schools.
The Archdiocese of Baltimore is pleased to announce the launch of the 2015 Archbishop's Annual Appeal. The theme for this year's appeal, taken from the Gospel of Matthew, is Go Make Disciples, and it is a call for each of us to proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ to all people everywhere. The Archbishop's Annual Appeal provides our 145 diverse parish communities with the tools that help them celebrate the sacraments, teach the faith, and build a vibrant culture of life centered on the Eucharist. Funds from the appeal are also used to evangelize future generations, strengthen families, and to lend a hand to the underserved members of our community. On behalf of Archbishop William E. Laurie, thank you for your prayerful consideration to support this year's Archbishop's Annual Appeal. For more information or to make a gift, please visit www.archbalt.org/appeal.
Thank you for joining us for this edition of Catholic Baltimore. As we prepare for the week ahead, let us do so in prayer together as one community of faith. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Let us also ask the blessing and intercession of our Blessed Mother as we pray. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. May God bless us and keep us always in his love.